This is Gary Orban.
Yeah, Orban, it's built right this time. Hi, I'm Gary Orban, as you all know. I was born in New South Wales in Australia. That's the only New South Wales I think, anyway. At the age of seven, you know, my father was a coal miner, my mother was a nurse. And at the age of seven, my father wanted to sort of pursue his career that he always wanted to do. He wanted to be a jockey. He just got a bit too much of a weight problem. So we ventured overseas, mainly to Holland. And my mother and all our children lived in Holland. My father, he rode in England and then in Germany, places like that, you know. And we went to school there for a couple of years, and we moved back to New South Wales, and then we moved back to Holland again, travelled all around Europe, and then we moved over to England, lived in England for a couple of years, and then we moved back to Germany. So that was sort of pretty much my childhood up until about 17. In that time I changed school 11 times, three different countries, three different languages. So my life was never really stable. Like, I wasn't a kid, just a normal kid that was sort of like, oh yeah, I was born up in, say, St. Helens, went to St. Helens Primary School and High School. It was, you know, we were really tight-knit family because we had to be, because we were travelling all over the world. And so we really got to rely on each other and trust. You know, there was a bond there, a really good bond. And we were raised up as Catholics. Went to Catholic school when we were in New South Wales before we ended up going over to Europe. And, did my Holy Communion and all that sort of stuff that they do there, you know. But I did believe in God. I believed in God then, you know. I go, oh, yeah, God's true and stuff, you know. But I just sort of couldn't understand it as a child. I mean, I was only seven, I'm going, all these prayers, you know, blah, 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 blah. Thinking, oh, I just didn't seem to make any sense, you know, like every week they say the same prayers, you know, and the rosary beads, and I thought, oh, bugger, I'm just throwing that away. I'm making up my own prayers. So, you know, I made up my own prayers, and, you know, I prayed most of those prayers most of my life, good and when the times were good and bad, but usually when they were bad, because then you go, oh, God, help me, you know, as we all seem to do. But anyway, after we'd been over to Europe for all those years, I was 17, came back to Australia. We moved to Victoria, and my father sort of had a huge crash with his, you know, racing career. Like, you know, there's not many bones left in his body, you know, in one piece. And we sort of advised him. He was probably about my age, well, 42, you know, he's about my age then, and he said, you know, give it a miss. We don't want to see you in a wheelchair. So he gave it up and he bought him a feed store, and I got a girlfriend, my older brother got a girlfriend, you know, and my young brother, he was doing his apprenticeship. Everything was going real fine. And all of a sudden, you know, I started drinking like everyone was drinking back then anyway, still today, but at that age, you know, you sort of start drinking, you get these the real world, you know, pubs, women, all that sort of stuff. So my father went broke, lost everything that he earned all his life. He ran off with another woman, and I sort of ended up having to run the whole business at the age of 19, which was a food produce store, like animals and stock feed and that sort of stuff. And consequently, my girlfriend left. She'd just been through that with her family, a big split up. So everything that was my comfort zone or my security, which I was saying before with my family, because it was so tight-knit, that all just went, and here I was standing, just nowhere, you know, like, so, you know, I drank more, I was going out 7 nights a week, getting drunk 7 nights a week, did that for about 3 years. I hadn't started smoking dope then yet. But, you know, always getting one woman this week, two or three next week, you know, just looking for it in that, you know. I thought it was in the bed, but no, there was no love getting there. All my family's love was all gone. I was all hate and discontent, you know. So anyway, while I was on my long drinking binge, I met this woman, my first wife, got married. 2 years later, we were split up because the love still wasn't getting filled here in my heart, you know. So anyway, she left, yeah, because we come to Tasmania, and she left, and then, it's only about a year after that, I met this other lady, young girl, who became my second wife. You know, we got married, but, you know, I did love her, but I didn't know what love was anymore, because I didn't want to love anyone, because I already had this love for a family, and I trusted my father so much, and that, you know, that was just lost. I couldn't give my heart to anyone completely anymore, because there's always this doubt. And so anyway, my last wife, we were married for 6 years, got 3 beautiful children, and moved from the North Coast down to St. Helens, and I thought, well, this is it, have a new break, have a new start. You know, something's got to be going real good now. And things just went downhill. Didn't matter what I did. It's sort of like slow motion car racing. You know, you're just going off the road and you can see that tree. Doesn't matter which way you steer on the steering wheel, that tree's still coming. And then all of a sudden I just went bang. Family was split up. She did a runner with my so-called best mate. You know, I heard a lot of people that's happened to these days. But at that stage, I'm thinking, you know, oh yeah, at the time I was too smoking a lot of dope, you know. Been smoking dope for probably since I met my second wife. And just got worse and worse and worse, and you know, I scrap on it. Didn't really sell it. I just grew it because I didn't want to buy it. But because you grow it, you just got endless amount of supply. It's like a beer in your fridge, you know, like that never runs out. You just keep drinking it. It's like I just kept smoking dope. So it all fell apart, and I thought, well, I want to go down, because I had a lot of anger from unsolved things, you know, like I hadn't forgiven people, and I just hated people. And there's a lot of anger inside of me, and I thought, well, I'm going to drive down to Hobart, and I'm going to kill this bloke. Because I've done a lot of fighting in my life, you know, and out of pubs. You know, 2 brothers, we were always sort of, you know, at each other all the time. So I want to go down, I want to go kill this bloke. And that entered my mind then. And that was it, that seed was planted in my mind. Now, I've got probably 1,000 different ways that I was going to kill him. About 2,000 ways of how to dispose of the bloke. And I look at it now, the only reason I didn't do it is because I didn't have the money to put petrol in my car. I didn't have $50 to put in my car for a return trip. God knew that now. God knew that then, which I know now. But I was living in a shack. You know, the wind was blowing through. All my kids, who I love dearly, I spent a lot of time with, they were just stripped away from me. You know, so the only bit of love that I had left was my children. That was gone. And I just found myself in a dribble and mess on the floor, you know, just crying my eyes out, you know. God, and I'm praying, why is all this going on, you know, like, most of my life I've been fairly decent sort of a bloke, you know, like I help anyone, you know, everyone's friend, but why is this all going on, God, you know, I thought, I've got to do something, I can't do anything anymore. Physically, I was a wreck, mentally I was a wreck. You know, I had nothing left. And anyway, I took off to Victoria for a couple of months. I really thought I was going to get out of there because I saw my ex-wife, and then she's still my wife. I saw her and I said, well, you know, can I take Liam with me just for a couple of months to sort my head out and see if I can get something worked out so I can still be together? Yeah, well, basically she just wanted him gone, you know. Yeah, take him too, because he was a problem child, as far as she was concerned. So I took him, and while I was over in Victoria, I was at my sister's place, and this lady walked in, and I thought, oh, I know this lady. I just know her. I didn't. But God did. And I was told my mum, I said, Mum, I said, oh, is that lady that was at my sister's place, you know? Oh, it's such and such. I said, oh, no, she's going, oh. Anyway, she worked with my mother. And my mother spoke to me and said, look, Gary thinks that he knows you. And she's going, no, no, I don't know him. And so my mother told her my plight, you know, it split up and blah, blah, blah. And she asked my mother, well, does he believe in God? And I said, yeah. And, okay. So anyway, a couple of days later, I received this little booklet from this lady with two other ladies. And they're in a prayer group over Victoria. I don't know what denomination they are. Look, I still don't. I know her name was Shirley, that's all. And it was a little daily devotional. And I opened the front page and she wrote on it, Gary, even though we've never really met, God puts on our hearts those whom he wants saved. Jesus is your healer. And I just burst into tears and I just looked up and I went, you are true. Because I've been praying and praying and praying, you know, and I'm going, you are true, you know. So from then on, like, I was in this daily devotional every day, you know. And anyway, I come back to Victoria, I sort of felt, you know, I could stand on my own 2 feet just. But God was already leading me. Oh, I've got no money, but I'm thinking, oh, that'd be right, I've got this and that. Anyway, Pete was renting this place, which the last house that I rented with my wife, ended up being Pete, whom I'd met before, about 2 years before. And there was this big shed attached, and had all my gear in there, cars and whatever. And I thought, I'll go and knock on their door, see if it's all right, if I can just, you know, fix up one of the cars or whatever, so I'm not disturbing them. Anyway, Posse walks out, Pete's wife. Oh, kiddo, how you going? And I heard they'd been going to church through a mutual friend of ours, Charlie. And I thought, oh, yeah, that's good, they're going to go to church. And, anyway, saw Pete. Couple of days later, oh yeah, you know, I said, yeah, I'm going to kill this bloke, you know, and he's going, no, you don't want to do that, you know. Look, you know, because I'd see something different about Pete, like, you know, he's just looked happy, and Pete, he's going, no, you don't want to do that, and this, that, and the other. He said, come down to church, you know, because Pete had only given his heart to the Lord, I think, about a year before or something like that. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, right, yeah, I'll do that. And Pete's gone, oh, thank you, that was easy. Yeah, like, asked someone to come to church. And so anyway, I got there a couple of weeks later, and when I opened the church doors, I had my three children with me, and I walked in that church, and it was like this big vacuum just went in there, because I'd had enough dope, I'd had enough drinking, I'd had enough of the life, the way it's treated me, and people around me, you can see there's, you know, people busting up everywhere. Kids are running amok here, running over there. She's got a new husband, he's got a new wife, they've got new kids, and it's just a mess, you know. You just see it everywhere. I think we're all familiar with that. You know, and so I walked in that church, and God just, he had his hand on me, you know, like, and I haven't left really. When I went back to Victoria, that's another story. But when I first said the look, you know, the prayer and accepted Jesus into my life, I went from a place of living in this shack where it was freezing cold because I didn't have blankets. I went to Tip and got some blankets. And I was too proud. I was going to go and ask someone. I went to Tip. I was always a bit of a Tip scrounger. and there happened to be two blankets. I thought, yeah, beauty, golly, thanks, God. You provided me with blankets. Took them down the laundromat, stacked my coin in, washed them, took them back. I didn't have any power or nothing, but that didn't matter. I was sitting there, it's freezing cold. I went to bed. I had a Bible, a hand-me-down Bible, and I'm reading it. I just felt this warmth coming over me. The only entertainment I had there was just watching the rats go past, you know. And I felt this warmth come over me. I think, oh, these blankets are good. You know, I'm reading this Bible. And I went to bed that night. I closed the Bible, went to bed. I woke up the next morning. You know, I was devastated in my life. My heart was smashed to pieces. My mind was just a wreck. You know, I went to bed that night, and I woke up the next morning, and the whole shack was just glowing, you know, it was like an fairyland, you know, I didn't know what was going on, and I had my arm out like that, I had this big smile on my face, I was just so happy inside, you know, I was in love, I was just in love, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm still half sort of asleep, not quite a lot, you know, totally awake. And I'm sort of thinking, well, I'm in love. Like, who's that? Next thing I was expecting there to be some woman of my life to be. No, it was the Lord. I believe it was the Lord, you know. I was just, so much peace came over me. I'm thinking, this can't be. Like, this has got to be God, because here I am with a smile on my face, you know, like, living in rotten conditions, and my life's just been smashed to pieces, and I've never been able to go, oh, well, switched on the smiley face, and, you know, everything's rosy. And since that day, you know, like, I've embraced God, you know, like, and he is. Jesus is the truth, you know, the light and the way, you know, like, I can't do without him anymore, because he's the only thing that keeps me going. And I've seen a lot of testimonies, and I've seen how it's changed people's lives. And just how he's blessing me day after day after day after week, you know, just with different things. I don't worry about money anymore. I used to make a lot of money, but I was always worried about it, even while I was making a lot of it. I don't worry about money. I don't worry about health. I don't tend to worry about many things, because if I do have a worry, you know, it's just, you know, to give it to the Lord, and I give it to the Lord. But the strangest thing, going back a long way, when I was a kid, I made up my own prayers. After I got baptised in water and the Holy Spirit, and I heard these people pray. I'm a praying tongues, just praying their prayers, and I'm going, yeah, they know my prayers. You know, like, what are they doing? Praying my prayers. They must have been listening. I'm thinking, no, they couldn't be listening, because I wish to say my prayers quietly in my bedroom, you know. I think God showed me. He's just showed me now, like 3 years later, 3.5 years later. The Holy Spirit was teaching me as a child to pray to him, because I believed in him. I only had a simple childlike faith. You know, I didn't have much understanding. And it is simplicity in Christ Jesus, as they say, you know. And God isn't a complicated God. You know, a lot of people portray him to be so complicated, and, you know, these scribes and these Pharisees and stuff like that, they used to have in the Old Testament, you know, they just, you know, Jesus says, come to me as a child. And I was a child then. I came to him, and he hadn't left me. He'd been trying to call me, but I wasn't listening, because I didn't know properly. And while I was away for a couple of years, my daughter, you know, I used to only speak to her on the phone, and I never taught her how to pray or anything. She came up to me one day when I could see her, and she said, Dad, I've made up these new prayers. I'm, you know, quite proud of my daughter. You know, she's one of the strongest evangelists I know out of anyone. As old as they can, she's this tall and that high, you know. But she told me these prayers, and I just burst into tears, and I went, God, you know, they're the same prayers that you taught me as a child, and he's taught my daughter them too. Thank you. dad's got his hand on all of our lives, even though there are times when we think, oh, no, he doesn't know us, or, you know, maybe he doesn't like me. But he has, even in our worst situations, he's there with us, you know. So God is good.